the rich young man has everything. He is a good Jew. He observes the law. He wants for nothing. And yet, somewhere in the depth of his being, in the depth of his heart, he senses that there just might be something more. He discerns a hunger, a deep and abiding hunger for something that might transcend this fleeting world. And rightly, he goes to Jesus. Probably not really conscious that Jesus is the very embodiment of what he seeks. But he goes to Jesus. He reverences him. What must I do to inherit eternal life? But before Jesus responds, he says, "Why do you call me good? Only God is good." I would suggest that Jesus is making sure that this young man knows who he is speaking with. If I have a serious question about my health, about the condition of my heart, I'm going to seek someone, not a podiatrist. I'm going to go find a cardiologist, and I'm going to want to make sure he's a cardiologist, so that what he tells me will be the truth. I think Jesus is telling this young man, think of this question you are asking, but even more so, think about who you're directing that question to, and then listen for the answer. And Jesus, as is his wont, is clear and straightforward. He tells him, sell everything. Anything that hinders your pursuit, your relationship with God, get rid of. Sell it to the poor. And come, follow me. But in that young man's mind, did that really compute? For in his culture, wealth and status and power, that was considered the indication that you were in right relationship with God. You were okay. You had those things because of your relationship with God. It signified. That you are righteous. He found his security in those possessions and his adherence to the law. And Jesus says, that's not enough. That's not enough. What you put your security in is no security at all. How very much He can be like you and I. We can follow the law. We can go to Mass. We can contribute to the church. We can have our kids baptized. We can have them confirmed. We go right down the line. Check this, check this, check this. And I'm in right relationship with God, right? Wrong. Because Jesus wants so much more. In this gospel, Jesus is on His way to Jerusalem. He knows what awaits Him. And He's making clear to this young man, to His apostles, to the disciples, and to you and I, the cost of discipleship. That this challenging gospel is nothing less than the call to the total commitment to Jesus Christ. For the things that we have, can fool us. We can begin to think we're self-sufficient, right? We don't need God. We're doing well. But that's an illusion. That's an illusion. Jesus said to him, "You're lacking one thing. You're lacking the essential. You're lacking a total dependence on Me. Because everything else, you're going to lose. One way or the other, you're going to lose it. But you will never lose Me." Jesus does not call all of us, thankfully, to be mendicants, begging for our sustenance. He does not call everyone to be a priest. He calls more than answer, but He doesn't call everyone. And He doesn't call everyone to consecrate a religious life. But He does call you to look at what you have and realize it's not yours. That it's a gift. And if you don't use those gifts for His kingdom, for the benefit of your brothers and sisters, then you're wasting the gift. And it's even more, and maybe this is even more challenging, it's not just our exterior possessions that He's telling you to sell and give away. It's also what's in our hearts, our interior dispositions. Perhaps your hopes and your dreams and your plans. He's saying, sell them. Sell them and come follow Me. live His hope for you, to live His dream for you, to live His plan for you. And Jesus, just as He looked at that young man, when He asks us, He looks in love. He looks at us in love. You know, one of my dearest friends in the monastery, one of my brother priests, who's talked about this, about what Jesus asks. You know, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Okay, Jesus is knocking at the door. He comes in. "Hello, Jesus. Hello, Jeremiah. I would like you..." You know, we discussed, and He says, "By the way, I would like you to get rid of X." "I can't get rid of X. I mean, that's near and dear to me. What do you mean I have to get rid of this thing in my life?" "No, get rid of it. Get rid of it." "Oh, I can't do that." Jesus walks out the door and says, "By the way, get rid of it." So you struggle, you know, you pray, you go through it, you know, and finally, "Yeah, you know what? I don't need X. I can live without X. We're good, right?" A week later, a year later, 10 years later, "Hello, it's Jesus." "Oh, hi, Jesus. Hi, Jeremiah. I got rid of X." "Yeah," he says, "yeah, I'm really glad you got rid of X. And by the way, I want you to get rid of Y." "I can't get rid of Y. I get rid of X. You can't be asking me to get rid of Y." "Yeah, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Get rid of it." "But Jesus, I have been working on Y since the last time you were here. Because I know, I watched you do it. Get rid of it." "Okay, get rid of it. Get rid of it." You know? You find out you can do it. You find out you can do it. And you find out that there's something liberating about that. You realize, I really don't need X and I really don't need Y. And you're good, right? A couple years later, "Oh no. I'm not home. Turn out the lights." "Not home." "Yeah." He'll walk through the door. You know that. He can walk through the door. So you better answer the door. And then He says, "I love you. I love you so much that I want you to now get rid of this, let go of this, so that I can love you fully and there'll be nothing between you and me." He loves us that much. So the extent of our story is Nathanaelized, like, if there's anything in your life that you feel that you're so sure that you cannot live without, I guarantee you, if you're really seeking Jesus, He's going to ask you to give it up, to let it go. To let it go. But I know, and you know, that that's impossible for us. Because some of the things are very near and dear. Some of them can be very, very good. But if they're not God, if they're not Jesus, they have to go. But it's impossible for us. But it's not impossible for God. It's not impossible for God. So if we're honest with ourselves and we take a look at our lives and see the things in our lives that we put before God, and there's so many things that we actually do put before God, and think, I can't live without that, then that's what your prayer should be. That's what your prayer should be. Lord, I know that this is between you and me, and I know that I have to let it go. But I don't want to. I don't want to, Jesus, because it hurts. It really, really hurts. But if you ask me, I know you're asking me because you love me. And I'll say yes. But it's going to have to be your grace. You're going to have to do it for me. And you will. And you will. We are all lacking. We are all lacking. But with our trust in Jesus Christ, let us have the courage and the faith to let it go. And as we do, we will grow deeper in this life, not just the next, but in this life, in our relationship with Jesus Christ, the one thing that no one can ever take away from us. So when he says, let it go and come follow me, let us pray that we just don't walk away sad.